It would be a terrible inference for the Galactics to remove certain world leaders and change the structure of some governments, for instance. What would be the long-term benefit of this? In the short term, it would improve a global situation. But in the long term, it would take away our sovereign power and free will. We wouldn't attempt to learn from the challenge, and so we would likely fall for it again when the next dictator appeared. In an abusive relationship, no one except the victim can put an end to his or her suffering. No one can do the growing and awakening for another. When we wake up and embrace the courage to face our enemy, we discover our power and potential. This will never happen if we are saved by an outside force, unless an emergency rescue is the only solution to an extreme and life-threatening situation. We have to repeat our mistakes over and over in order to eventually come out of our shell. Humanity must take responsibility for itself, or humanity can never grow. The current crisis on Terra is an opportunity for humanity to learn about its own weakness and strengths. A child will never learn if his parents do all of his homework for him. With all their love and good intentions, the Galactic Federation of Worlds and other benevolent galactic and intergalactic groups cannot do this last step for us. Humanity must not miss this opportunity to rise up and exclaim loudly, "Ao, do not consent. Ao, when we stop feeding the beast, it dies. Even its mark eventually fades with time. The negative extraterrestrial threat is gone. Now, humanity of Earth is like a bird who lived in a cage for all of its life. Suddenly, someone opens the door of the cage. Will the bird fly away?" Many of you wonder and ponder this same question: "Ao, when will the good ETs manifest themselves openly to the public?" A, because unfortunately a lot of people want to rely upon outside help, praying that good ETs are going to come and save them. The savior complex has been purposely embedded into the consciousness of humanity, mainly by means of religion, to take our power away and transform us into passive, obedient slaves. The truth is, the Galactics are helping us already, mainly by helping us getting us rid of the alien threat. The Galactic Federation of Worlds has been working with the US Navy since the early 1950s to build a secret space defense fleet, for example. Our positive galactic allies have opened the door of our birdcage, but they cannot flap our wings for us. We must overcome the savior syndrome that has been conditioned in humanity through toxic religions using fear and guilt for millennia. The time to kneel is over. It is time to stand up, humans of Earth. It is time to embrace who you truly are. And you are quite exceptional. When the tall white spokesman from the Intergalactic Confederation ended his communication, a deep silence filled the room. Then Ardeanu addressed me again, this time directly by telepathy via Thorhan. "There is a danger," she said, "in letting the Terrans know about this. Be extremely mindful in the way you are going to deliver this information. I know you are now undergoing a certain emotion, Elena, eager to tell the inhabitants of this planet that the Intergalactic Confederation is terminating the Nebu Microhydras. These are positive news that can carry a great harm." "How?" I asked. "By receiving this information, many people on this planet below will think it is then safe to get injected with this enemy technology. It is not. Terrans are still put under pressure to get the bioweapon administered to them. The Nebu are gone, but the Terran dark organizations who were working with them rush now to play their last chance to assimilate the populations for their own benefit. They know it is against common rights to force the Terrans to do it, so they influence them by fear and restrictions to surrender of their own free will. A lot of people give up, exhausted. Learning about the help from the Intergalactic Confederation must not become an excuse to stop fighting. Do you understand? This is the danger. Even if the synthetic hydras are deactivated, the substance remains highly harmful to human biology. This injection contains the tracker dust that was meant to relay the connection from the hydras to the Nebu Hive Queen consciousness, and that remains a very harmful substance when inside of a biological carbon-based organism." "The tracker dust," I exclaimed. "Graphene oxide is the tracker dust that Thorhan has been warning me against for 2 years now, isn't it?" "Correct," Ardeanu continued. It tracks you because you become connected to the hive. It clings to the nervous system and changes the molecular structure of the blood, which becomes thicker. It can be lethal for carriers of certain blood types. Which blood types? I cannot disclose, Elena, because this would cause unnecessary panic and we do not work that way. Please, High Commander Ardeana, authorize me to tell them. Ardeana sighed and a shadow of worry wrinkled her forehead as she turned to the visitors to seek advice. The tall white representative bearing the green gem set his attention toward me once again by looking through Thorhana TMS eyes. I heard his gentle voice in my head. Tell them with love, in a way that strengthens their hearts. When Thorhan left Ardeana TMS office, he walked halfway through the footbridge and halted to take a deep breath. I am sorry, I said. The universe has its ways, Thorhan replied, smiling. You were meant to carry this message, emissary. Thorhan leaned against the banister. In his peripheral vision, I noticed Anax walk out of Ardeana TMS office. The Dorli Garoth stopped in front of Thorhan and he half closed his eyes to better connect with me telepathically. Anax, I asked, please advise me on how I should deliver this information. With simple words, replied Anax. But be careful, words are vibration. They are vessels carrying a power that affects holographic realities. Always speak with wisdom from the heart, my child. Anax, Thorhan intervened, she will put herself in danger for announcing this. Of course, Anax replied to him. But you and I know how well she is protected and defended. It are TMS true, said Thorhan. It seems, I intervened, that we at MV had this same conversation a zillion times already, I said. And each time I conclude by the same words, I am the one who decides for myself in the end. Thorhan shook his head, smiling, while Anax let out a little laugh that drew dimples on his cheeks. Anax said, as he does every time. Thata TMS my girl. On Wednesday, October 27th, I broadcasted Ardeana TMS message on YouTube. I revealed to the world the activity of the Intergalactic Confederation regarding to the destruction of the synthetic Hydra Vulgaris contained in the bioweapon engineered by the Nebu. The 9WHO are they? The Intergalactic Confederation recognizes a collective of 9 higher consciousnesses dwelling behind the curtain of all realities. They relate to them by different names, among which are, the 9 Collective, the 9 Elders and the Elders of Light. They sometimes have been referred to by Terrans as the Council of 9, but this is a misinterpretation as they are not a proper council. A council is more of a social, political or spiritual structure part of the created, physical reality of a specific culture. The 9 have always existed in a place they call Ao the Voida. This place exists although it is uncreated. The void exists in between the dimensions and out of time, out of any created universe, in the non-temporal, limitless a uncreated a TM. It is a oneness in an eternal instant. The 9 do not live in a space-time continuum, and yet, although they reside nowhere, they can be everywhere. The 9 are individuated plasmic supraconsciousnesses who together are one. Each of them embodies a principle of the universe, and together they are the universe. Together they are one, and each one is multitude. This concept is summarized by the nature of the number AO9A. God, Creator, Source or Universal Consciousness. Regardless what we call it, is infinite in all aspects and fractals on a base 9. In many ancient Earth cultures, the number 9 was very important and even sacred. Trying to figure out their environment, the Egyptians, Greeks, Celts, Norse, Taoists, Buddhists and Aztecs for instance, used the number 9 as such. Minus 1, the singularity, the individual. It can represent also the oneness, when grasped as the total made by all the added numbers added from 1 to 9. Minus 2, the couple bear, the creative alchemical polarities. Minus 3, the plural, it is also the trinity, basis for many spiritual and religious traditions. 9, the multitude. 3 by 3. The infinite. If you add all the numbers from 1 to 9 you have 45, and 4 plus 5 equals 9. Also, any number added to 9 will be remain itself. For instance, 9 plus 1 equals 10, 1 plus 0 equals 1, 9 plus 2 equals 11, 1 plus 1 equals 2, 9 plus 3 equals 12, 1 plus 2 equals 3, etc. It also represents for most of these ancient cultures, heaven, harmony, perfection, achievement, immortality, eternity. It is also a portal. In the tradition of the Druids, turning 9 times clockwise around a well opens a portal to the world of the Fae. The Norse-Scandinavian shamanic tree of life, the Yggdrasil, is layered with 9 different realms of consciousness. The origin of this symbol, the Aetri of life, is the human DNA. The coiled helix which once it has activated, reveals an incredible potential, including interdimensional journeying, time traveling and surprising cognitive abilities. And also think about this, the human gestation takes 9 months. The Egyptians, Greeks, Romans, had a pantheon of 9 creator gods. The Egyptian Great Ened is interesting in itself. The name is borrowed from the Greek enatildo inverted exclamation mark s, a 1/4 I circumflex 1/2 I circumflex 1/2 I circumflex micro I circumflex negation I diaresis, meaning Ao the 9 year. The original Egyptian word is Aoschta pronounced Pasajet, and it also translates by Ao the 9 year. It is composed of 4 couples plus 1 above them, 8 entities plus Ra, Atom. The name of the 8 entities varies regarding to different cultural areas and time periods. Did these ancient cultures have direct contact with these entities, or it is only about the metaphorical significance of the number 9 as a divine multitude? Further contact experience will prove to me that they truly are 9 individuated beings. Yggdrasil Vajra Vegvisa. The Norse tree of life Yggdrasil depicts 9 shamanic realms of consciousness, with a similarity to an extremely powerful weapon, the Indian Vajra, which when turned inwards serves as an interdimensional portal key, and turned outwards becomes a powerful thunderbolt affecting the physical world. I will go into further details on this topic in the chapter about the Vajra. The Vegvisa is another key. It is the aeic compass of the 9 realms, 8 plus the center, guiding the way through the Yggdrasil. The Aopsa Sedila.tao, Ancient Egyptian Great Heliopolitan Ened, Tem, Atom Dash Sutefnut Jebnut User, Osiris Aset, Isis, Sothis Seth Nebet, Niftis. After the hieroglyphics list above of names and determinatives for the Egyptian Ened, we can make correlations with the fact that the Anunnaki were sometimes called Ao the Shining on Izu in relation to the glow of their skin. An explanation to this phenomenon will be provided to me later, in my encounters with one of them. We notice as well the correspondence between the ancient Egyptian term for Ao gods and Ajaru, and the term used by extraterrestrials to name our galaxy, Nataru. In the official Tamil language of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, the residents of this galaxy are named Nataru. The Great Ened was one of the several groups of 9 deities in ancient Egypt. Interestingly, the priests of Ptah celebrated him as superior to the 9. The Ao Greater or Ao Heliopolitan Enedu Aai, Nwa from Heliopolis, Ena was led by the sun god Atham, and is inherited from the unfathomable past, Aethist mentioned in the pyramid texts of preceding the Old Kingdom. The Aopsa Sedila.tao Nwa can be translated as Aeth Great 9 from the City of the Sunstone. This could lead to several extrapolations, notably to the hypothesis that these may have been either the Anunnaki overlords at the time, or even the 9 themselves. The Great Egyptian Ened. While writing these lines, on September 12, 2022, 09 plus 12 plus 2022 equals 9, I unexpectedly received a sharp, strong connection from the 9, with whom I am still in contact with, who intervened to bring this information. Always prominent in the psyche of the ancient overlords of humanity who came to visit this planet, Earth. We are the 9 principle of the universe. Those evolved enough to know about us will find the way to set their beliefs on the very structure of the universe. We are the nine. We are the light that pours through your souls. We are nine and one. The former overlords of humanity on planet Earth in the ancient times based their structural belief upon our model. They will be remembered as the nine gods. But to the people of Earth in these ancient times, the mystery remains due to a poor understanding of their environment and of the universe. We are nine and one. They were not us, but as nine they prevailed, in the memory of the priests of the ancient world. Tum, Temu, Tom. I am. I encompass the nine. I am the key. I am the singularity of the vortex. I am the passer. I am the bridge. The connector. The link between our unbounded existence and the definite existentiality of incarnated souls. We are, and always will be, your guardians. We look after you. The Intergalactic Confederation works for us, and by us. They are our executive hands and their heart works in accordance to the greater law of one. I am Tum, Temu, Tom. The messenger. After I received this transmission, I got my answer. The Anunnaki overlords at the time when the Pharaonic Society did not TMT even exist, were aware of the existence of the Nine, as is any culture evolved enough in consciousness. These Anunnaki custodians left in their trail this awareness to the new human civilization that took over the rulership of Egypt, although the understanding got lost in the meanders of time and of human mind. The Egyptians from the Old Kingdom, when archiving in their writings the stories of the ancient gods, assimilated their former custodians to the spiritual belief they carried, and embodied, and which was about the awareness of nine supraconsciousnesses as the heart of the universe. Tum was translated in the ancient Egyptian psyche into the god Atum, the creator of the universe. Tum says he is the Aes singularity. A or the Aekia of the vortex accessing the void, which can correlate with the vortex of creation for the ancient Egyptians. Hermes, Thoth, the messenger of the gods. Tum mentions Ao those evolved enough to know about Usa. The Cedars group from the Intergalactic Confederation do not hold the monopoly of the contact with TH9, they are only aware of them and they work with them. Any society advanced enough in consciousness know about the Nine? I can remember Thorhan, Valnek, Myra, Ardeana, Koron and also Anax, often mentioning Ao the Nine Elders or Ao the Elders of Lighter. Ever since my first contact with them, I am still receiving messages from the Nine. But let me tell you how it all began. First contact with the Nine November 3, 2021. On November 3, 2021 at 3:33 a.m. I awoke abruptly, with my forehead tingling from a sensation of a vortex spinning inside of my head. Dizzy with vertigo, I sat on my bed and saw in front of me the ethereal figure of Una, the tall white woman whom I had met on board one of the Intergalactic Confederation motherships in the vicinity of Ganymede, the week before. She was very beautiful with her long creamy white hair, her perfect face and her sparkly slanted eyes filled with stars. She expressed herself in the same holographic language composed of thought forms and frequency modules. She lifted an arm and pointed a finger at my forehead. Entranced, I did not TMT dare move. The extremity of her index finger glowed with a green light pulsing slowly. At the moment her green glowing fingertip touched my forehead, I was propelled inwards, vacuumed into a powerful spinning vortex. Falling backwards, I felt as if I disintegrated, as if all the molecules of my body stretched into space and only my consciousness remained. There was no more backward and forward. Space had collapsed. There were no directions, only movement. In a normal circumstance, this could have been frightening, but it seemed that in this state of consciousness, I was unable to experience fright anymore. A shimmering haze of light materialized in front of me. It was opalescent white with silver and gold sparkles. I sensed several presences within it. Then, a soft voice resonated inside of my head with a slight echoing effect. It wasn't a TMT theatrical at all, as one would expect. It was instead really soft and gentle, masculine. We are the nine. My whole being shivered. A few seconds passed, then I started to see nine humanoid silhouettes forming from the opalescent glittering haze, all very tall and slim. I want to insist on the difference between the terms AE forming Froma and AE bearing Froma because they really formed their humanoid shapes from the substance of the opalescent haze. It seemed that the haze was them as a collective, while they could each manifest individually from it by taking a bit of the haze and making a shape with it. As one of them came closer to me, I felt a sensation similar to the pressure compressing your ears when you are in a plane as it climbs in altitude. Well, this was the same sensation, but it was experienced by my entire soul, and far more intensely. Not compressed to press me into a smaller space, not in that way. It was instead like an intense vibrating pressure that made all sensations feel a million times more intense. I knew that this incommensurate presence couldn't TMT harm me in any way. One of the beings then detached from the collective, taking on the appearance of a tall humanoid extraterrestrial similar in appearance to the Partal, except for the colors. I was well aware that these plasma supraconsciousness beings from AO9ia collective have in truth no real corporeal form. I knew they could shapeshift in anything, and the form they chose to represent themselves to me was probably meant to improve my contact experience and make it more comfortable for me. The elegant 9 feet tall being had green skin and wore no clothes. He seemingly had no sexual organs, he was thin and had a long neck. The nine in humanoid shape. His head was bald and his skull was slightly larger than a human at TMS at the back. He had beautiful slanted eyes, sparkly like purple and garnet gems. I noticed he had 5 long elegant fingers on each hand. As the being remained silent, I understood that I should ask a question. Are you the ones who contacted Gene Roddenberry?
Yes.
Why? Because we knew there was going to be a temporal war and we needed to create a bridge. As he spoke these words into my head, or shall I rather say, as he resonated these words within my consciousness, his holographic language contained far more than words. It carried content. Each thought module carried a story embedded in it. That is how I grasped that this bridge he mentioned was a bond between the past and the future, securing a progressive timeline, a Star Trek future so to speak. By giving a huge download of information to a group of humans at one specific moment in time, the Nine Collective ETMS intention was to embed into the collective unconscious of humanity the roots of their progressive future, helping humans manifesting it by the creative power of their mind. They enticed Gene Roddenberry and his entourage to create a popular series that would affect deeply and powerfully the consciousness of humanity of Earth for the generations to come. The Nine gave to humanity a template to focus on, a blueprint which was planned to unfold over a period of time, throughout series and movies. Star Trek resonated deeply within the consciousness of humanity, better than any other science fiction production ever made to this day, maybe equaled by Star Wars but only because it was so good and referred to the Orion Wars. Star Trek echoed an existing future reality by quantum resonance. This was the bridge. And has this bridge worked? I asked. Yes, it has. Now we are here at the other end of the bridge. You crossed the bridge to your future. We are here. We are the Nine. As the being at EMS words resonated within my entire being, I was once again sent backwards into this vortex, sucked back into my dimensional body on Earth, which I reintegrated. The sensation of being molecularly scattered to the infinite and then reversed back into embodying a compact form was rather disorienting. Una was still waiting in my room, sitting in a noble and elegant posture at the edge of my bed, holding space to relay my contact with the Nine Collective. Then she smiled and vanished into thin air. A smell of ozone lingered for a few minutes after her departure. I took a deep breath. My head was spinning with vertigo, but I still managed to record my experience. The Black Goo, November 5th, 2021, 3:33 a.m. Again. I never had an experience of contact such as this one before. I have been used to interacting with ghosts, spirits, or beings from other worlds since I was a child. I can wander different realms of densities as a shaman, meet with monsters, demons, angels, trolls, dragons, and fairies. I have been beamed aboard alien space stations and saw weird beings there, but nothing like this before. Of everything I have experienced in my life, nothing prepared me to this. I never had a contact experience as I had with the Nine Collective. Their frequency was so great that I was unable to contact them without the assistance of Una. The Nine, they are nothing near what I've been used to interact with all my life. They are pure consciousness, although individuated at the same time. They don't yet belong to any universe, any hologram, but in the same time they are connected to everything. They are life forms who live in the void between dimensions and time, through holes in the fabric of space-time where no time exists. I could call them a plasmic supraconsciousness, I suppose. Their frequency was so, way more than a higher different. I couldn't even contact them myself. I needed to be relayed by Una, this lady from the Intergalactic Confederation. She needed to be here, hold space, and take me halfway on the journey. She was present to facilitate the connection, because this body I am incarnated into is of a too low frequency to reach out to the level of the Nine. I knew, in this instant, that something was going to happen, that I would not just come back and get on with my life. No, it took me 3 days after this experience to fully understand what happened, while the intensity of the energies slowly settled, leaving me with an expanded sense of clarity. What I gained from this encounter, well, probably a lot of things that I still haven't all yet realized, encompassed, but if one thing stands above all, it's clarity. My contact with these timeless beings activated all the particles of my being, and the side effects of this encounter would unfold and reveal with time. It was as if connecting with supraconsciousnesses who dwell out of the space-time continuum, wasn't just all contained in one moment, it spread into the future and into the past. This moment of contact was a time bubble overlapping the linear time of my existence. The center of the bubble was the singularity of the time vortex, the point of contact entering my linear time apperception when I made connection with them. The Nine were contained in the singularity of the vortex. I could access them by there. Not that they were there, but in the void. Or as Una prefers to say. The only access to the void is through the singularity. The singularity happens when it enters in contact with something, such as linear time perception. It creates a door, a wormhole, that exists only when in contact with something. And the Nine are there, beyond the singularity, in the void. This is above the drawing I made right after I grasped the nature of my contact with the Nine. The central singularity is the point of contact on my linear experience of time here on Earth. But the information is delivered in the structure of a holographic time sphere, with each intersecting line is a microvortex portal where an encoded information has already been delivered, but will be accessible when in contact with the node. The singularity also can occur within my pineal gland, in my own vortex. I understand that this is what happened with me, in this experience. The extraterrestrial lady pointed a green glowing light at my forehead. The tip of her finger actually went through my skull, in an immaterial way, or I rather say, in a higher frequency of physicality, and it opened the vortex in my pineal gland as she touched it. The time bubble is a time hologram, like a space continuum holographic construct, but with time. The spherical mathematical time equation has ordinates and coordinates, and information are attached to intersections. When one of these nodes intersects your linear timeline, the information is delivered. This explains why my contact with the Nine, although experienced as of a short duration regarding to the standards of linear time, was in fact the anchoring of a time bubble containing information onto my linear time. This explains also why they were talkative at first, because the delivering of information was spherical and non-linear, it was to occur with time. This is how they communicate, and this is why I still keep receiving messages.